And so today we're going to begin the process of walking into the Ten Commandments. But we're going to start at the very beginning, if you would, when God called his man. You guys ready for the word of the Lord?
Yes.
Got your Bibles with you?
Yes.
All right, let's stand and read the Bible together. You need to bring your Bibles to church with you. Men will lie to you. God's word never lies. He is truth at all times. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1 is where we'll be. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he was turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not thy hither. Put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place thou art on is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I pray as we just begin this series on the Ten Commandments, I pray you would open our hearts. Help us understand the scriptures, Lord. They have been written and inspired by you. Men of holy men wrote these words down for us so that today we might have the privilege of opening up your word, reading your word, and allowing the Holy Spirit to show us and teach us and lead us, convict us if necessary. So, Lord, as I bring this message this morning, I need your intervention. I'm unworthy to even stand behind this pulpit. So I pray this morning, Lord, that you would intercede for me. I pray that you would speak through me today the very words that you would have said. Guard my lips, Lord, that I wouldn't say anything that should not be said. But I pray by the Holy Spirit of God that I might have the boldness to speak truth. Without it being watered down, without it being shaded, I pray, Lord, that give me that boldness today. Give me, Lord, I pray, everything that is needed this morning with an anointing from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And I'd pray, Lord, as if this is the last message I'd ever preach. I pray that your work will be done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Could I just ask you a question this morning? Does anybody here feel like you're a really highly qualified leader? Anybody? What if we were looking a leader, someone to lead? Is anybody highly qualified to lead? Or let me ask you another question. If anybody is here that is qualified, are we qualified and willing to take on a dangerous, treacherous task? Well, let me tell you a little bit about Moses. Everybody knows the story. He was born a babe. They weren't supposed to be. They were supposed to destroy the children. A new Pharaoh had come in, and he was wicked against Israel. Joseph was dead, and Egypt persecuted the Jews. For 420 years, approximately, they were there under Pharaoh's rule. And God heard them crying out. So in the divine will and sovereign knowledge of God, he chose a baby to be born. And he was called Moses. And his mother loved him. She saw he was a beautiful child. Evidently, Moses was a good-looking guy. So it was a beautiful child, the Bible said. And so she puts him in a basket and floats him in the river. Pharaoh's daughter comes along and she sees the basket. Her servants go out and pull the basket in, and lo and behold, there Moses is. Pharaoh's daughter fell in love with Moses. The Bible says she looked upon him and had compassion. She saw that little boy. She realized this was one of the Jewish children. And the Bible says she had compassion. And she took him in and raised him as if it was her son. So think about this. Moses, in his early life, was raised in Pharaoh's palace. He had the best education a man could get, I can imagine. He lived at the height of luxury. Everything that you can think of was at his hand. He spoke, and I'm sure he was taught the language, because when he was a child, that's when we learn our language. He may have even had an issue or a problem speaking Hebrew, because later on he tells God that, I have an issue with that. I can't speak plainly. In other words, he's saying, I've got a stuttering issue, or do I have an issue where it's been so long since I spoke the language, I don't know if I could even speak Egyptian anymore. Well, when he was about 40 years old, he goes out and he began to love his people. And one was being abused, and so what does he do? He strikes the Egyptian down and kills him and buries him in the sand. Well, a long story short, they begin to persecute him. Some of the Jews did, and call names and point fingers at him. And so he ran, like a lot of us do whenever things get hard. But he ran under the divine hand of God. And where does he go? The Bible says he goes on the backside of the desert with his father-in-law's sheep. Now just imagine this. From the king's palace to Jethro's tents, and then back to the backside of the desert where he met God. Let me ask you this question. Where can we be when God calls our name? Let me ask you, do you remember that time whenever you heard God's voice? Whenever you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and by faith you begin, your heart begin to open up, and you begin to understand what Christ had done for you, and by faith you join with the rest of the church, and I mean church, his church, in faith, and became a child of God. So that's where we're at. Moses is on the backside of the desert, wandering around, had no idea what was about to happen in his life. Isn't that the way? I remember whenever I come to know the Lord, I remember that was not what I was looking. He intervened in my life. Matter of fact, he caught me completely by surprise. I had heard the stories, grew up in church when I was young, had heard all the stories. I knew how to talk about the stories, but I did not know the one that the stories was about. And he intervened. I was sitting there minding my own business, and he stepped in. Moses was looking his own business, doing his own thing. Now listen, here he is tending the flocks of his father-in-law. I got a vision of who he was. He was a smelly shepherd. Someone that was probably smelled like sheep. And his only vision was this. He was settled in. I think after 40 years back with his father-in-law, with his wife and father-in-law, I think he forgot about what yesteryear was. Now at 80 years old, he's encountered by God. What do we do whenever we face God? What do we do whenever God asks us to do something for him? Are we willing to do it? Just think about Moses. He was God's servant, but it was 80 years before God called him out to do the work he had created for him to do. Why did it take so long? Well, probably all of us could answer that question for ourselves. How did it take so long for him to get to the place where God could use him? Well, see, God got him away from all that stuff and got him back there where he can transition him into the type of leader that he needed. See, God needs some leaders. But sometimes it takes those hard courses of our Christian faith, that hard walk that we walk sometimes. It takes that hard walk for God to mold us and shape us in a way where he can use us for what he has created us for. All of us have a task. All of us in here have a, if you've been born really, and I guess everybody in here has been born, anybody in here weren't born, anybody in here is born. Everyone that is born is this. God has a plan for your life. And you'll never know it unless you come to him. But he has a perfect plan for your life. One that you'll fit in like a piece of the puzzle. And that's what Moses was. He was a piece of puzzle that God was putting together. But there was some stuff he needed to do first. He needed to get the old Moses out and learn how to talk with God. Sometimes that's what we have to do. Sometimes we just have to stop where we at and seek God's face. Jeremiah said, if we seek him with all of our heart, we'll find him. He's not hiding himself from us. Because listen, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained for us to walk in. So see, God's got a plan, and he wants to put us together where we can really do the mission that he wants the church to do, but it takes us to working together like a puzzle fitting together. Where do you fit in at? We have to ask that question. Where do we fit in at the ministry of what God has set for our church? I've always said we're on the backside of the desert back here, on the backside of these apartments. Where do we fit in? What pieces of the puzzle do we fit? Well, God's the one that has to do that. God's the one that shapes us. Sometimes I've had some lessons from God that I did not want. I've had some lessons from God that was pleasant and I enjoyed learning, but I've had some that I did not like. But I learn out of it anyway. So first of all, let's just think about this. God knows when to call. He knows everything about it. He knows where we're at in our life, and he knows what to do to prepare us. I want you to know this. You cannot get prepared to do what God wants you to do. You have to come to God, and he will prepare you. He will qualify you. You might not have no idea what it is that God wants you to do, but listen to me. If we'll just make ourselves available to him, he will take us and mold us and shape us in a way that we are successful in our walk as a Christian and as ministry as we do it. We fit together and we're like a body of Christ going throughout our community, ministering, loving, caring for each other, meeting the needs, if you would, of those that are hurting. But God knows exactly when to call. Moses, the Bible said, was with the flock. And he thought that he had settled in. He was now married. Had a good job. Everything was going well. He was the boss, at least, of his crew there. But God had something different for him. We as individuals, we know that moment God called us. Listen, I had it made. I had a good job. Had a wonderful wife. Had a precious little baby girl. Life was good. And God intervened. And he began working in my life in ways I had never seen God work. He worked in a way that I knew exactly who it was. I wasn't overqualified. Moses was overqualified. I was not. I was a wretched sinner, had been taught nothing. I knew hardly nothing, although I'd been in church, knew hardly nothing about what it meant to be a believer in Christ Jesus. I had gone through the processes, but had not met the Creator. But Moses now, here he is, he's just like us. He's heard the message. The Bible don't give us any direction of where he's followed the worship. We don't know. But he had heard something. And out minding his own business, at the time that God called, he had to hear him. He had to listen to what God had to say. When we get in those hard places sometimes, that's when we see God. We don't always see him in the good things. We see him in sometimes the hard things because we realize that without him, we would not be able to make it through. Moses had more with God on the backside of the desert than he had ever had before because he heard God's voice. Wherever we're at, we need to listen to God's voice. God will speak to us. Well, he might speak to us through his word, which I know he does all the time. So Moses had everything together. But here he comes with the sheep, and he looks, and there's a bush burning. Probably wasn't unusual for the bush to be burning because, you know, out of the backside of the desert, there was bush. Look at California. I mean, they just start burning anyway, you know. So it dry, and what caught his eye was not that the bush was burning. The Bible said because it was not being consumed. Because it's not being consumed. The Bible is clear about who that was. And the angel of the Lord, the Bible says, appeared unto him in the flame of the fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and the bush was not consumed. Some scholars say this was an angel speaking, or the fire in the bush. Some scholars say that it was God. I believe it was God, don't you? Because he said, I am the God of your fathers. The Bible tells us that God is a consuming fire. God is a God of love. God is a God of help. God is a God of trusting. God is a God who is loving, kind, generous, long-suffering. But he's also a God that is a fiery flame of judgment. It was time for Israel to be delivered. They needed to see and hear the fire of God. Now listen to me. We live in a time when God has been thrown out of everything, even the Bible at times. Most churches, or a lot of churches, he's been thrown out of for some time. He's been thrown out of our society and getting worse and worse and worse all the time. He is not wanted anywhere. Not wanted anywhere. This world needs to see the fiery hand of God. Now, how are they going to do that? How are they going to see the fiery hand of God? Well, first of all, we got to hear his call. He called Moses, and Moses immediately answered. lot of times God calls us and we run. Moses saw the flame. He saw the fire. But at that time, he had not seen God. It took his turning. See, God's not going to force us to do anything. He's not going to force us to do anything. God wants us to serve him out of love. Romans chapter 1 tells us, listen, God's put everything there where we can see. He's not left us vacant. But he's not going to force us to do anything. We're not puppets on the string. We are his workmanship, created unto good works. That's who we are. Moses had a task. We all have a task this morning. And we need to understand that what we think it is might not always be what it is. It might be something different that God wants in your life. God has changed directions in my life, I know, since I've known him. See, God will take the weak things of this earth to show the majesty of his greatness. Now, just think about this. God could write in the heavens your name and call you. Now, we might say, well, if he'd do that, I believe. But he might not do that. He could, but he might not. He hasn't yet. I'm not saying that he won't. He could make that chair speak right there if he wanted to, if he needed to. But God has chosen us to be the voice of God according to his word. Amen. Not what we think, not what we say, but what thus saith the word of the Lord. That's how we speak God into people's life. We speak it. Listen, this morning I'm talking to you. Maybe some are listening, maybe. But I can only get my voice to your ear. And I can't really even do that. God's doing that. But God can take the voice and speak into the depths of our heart. But he needs someone that's going to go, somebody that's going to share, somebody that's going to do what he's asked us to do. He said, well, I'm not qualified. Well, let's look at Moses, bless his heart. He was a murderer. I'm not telling you to murder somebody so God will use you. I ain't saying that. But look, his life was not perfect. All of us have garbage in our life. We've got garbage in our life even after we become Christians. We are not perfect. We will make mistakes. We will stumble at times. But thank God he has given us his spirit that convicts us, corrects us, and leads us back to him. So we just need someone that is willing to stand up and say, Lord, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'm willing to go. And have the word of God in our hearts so that we might be able to share the word of God. I think that's the most important thing in anybody's life right now. They need to hear that God loves them, that God has a plan, and that we are there to help them and comfort them and teach them. Man, this world needs more than anything is they need to know Christ. The only thing that's going to turn this country around is the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else is going to change anything. We can have all the committees, all senators or representatives, whoever they might be, even the president of the United States, the only one's going to change this country is God. Because he's the only one that can change us from within our heart. And that's where the issue is. It is in man's heart because men above all things, the Bible says, our heart above all things is wicked. Who can know it? That's what he says. So God needs someone, God wants someone, and God's calling someone maybe this morning, said, come and be a part of what I've got for your life. Because my life has not turned out the way I thought it was going to turn out. but it's turned out wonderful. I did not grow up to be what God made me. I'm thankful that he called me. I'm thankful that I heard him. I thank him that I accepted that invitation to come and drink. This morning, we have to make that decision ourselves. Moses heard the call, and he walked over to God. This morning, if God has called you as a believer, he's placed something in us that we're able to do. I don't know what that is. There is so many gifted people in the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God, what it needs, although it's filled with talented people, is needs the people to stand up and say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I hear the call. Here I am. What can I do? Where can I go? How can I serve?" Well, we living in some tough times right now. I hope 21 is better than what 20's been. Amen? I hope it is. But we have something we can do right now. I'm amazed how God has blessed us with the talent that's here and the things that people are doing. Even during this, all this pandemic, every time when you guys leave tomorrow morning, there'll be somebody here sanitizing the building. Volunteer. Faithful. Faithful to do it. Every time we meet, they're in here, the chairs are sanitized, everything is done. We have teachers that have blessed the church because they were saying, "Yes, I'm willing to do that," and they have stepped out at a time of great need and said, "Here I am." And we are being blessed because of that. We're being blessed because our adults or even the older teenagers can at least listen to a lesson every single week that applies to our lives. And now our children, I'm so excited about this, that our children, I wonder what that magnifying glass was for. I couldn't figure it out when Marley got that kit. Our children are being blessed and taught. I watched that lesson. Man, they're going to love this stuff. And we've got someone in here right now that God wants you to do something. We're just afraid at times to do it. That's what stops us. It's not because we don't know how to do things. It's because we're afraid to do it. We're afraid of what someone might say. We're afraid that someone might make fun. We're afraid that someone will disagree with us. We'll say at times, "I can't do it." And we probably can't, but God can. Moses, he knew how to do the things that had been taught as a young man. But he did not know how to do what God was calling him to do. He was filled with fear whenever God told him what he wanted him to do. But he walked over to God and God said, "You're on holy ground." See, what God is drawing us to is his holiness. God wants us to be holy people, separated from this world and sold out completely to him, that we will give him our all. So what do we do when he calls? How do we answer that call? We have to be careful that we don't run before God. And what I mean by that, run ahead of him. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to wait, and we need to pray, and we need to look and see. Because God will show us something around us where we can minister, where we can help someone, where we can share the gospel with them. You guys are doing those kind of things. I know Lori shares the gospel and the love of God to his customers when he goes into their houses. Things like that are happening because we don't have to be experts for God to use us. All we have to realize is that God is God. God's in control. And when God's in control, we win. So let me ask you, who is our God? Is it this world? Is it our abilities who our God is? Is our education what we're trusting God to do, use us with? If it is, we probably won't see God working. But if we're waiting on him, saying, Lord, use me. And listen, Moses was 80 years old. He was, I bet you whenever God called him, some of the people said, well, you know, he can't do that. He's too old. He's too old to be doing that stuff. He can't mess with us. I mean, lead us, this mass of people. How's he going to leave us, lead us? He's too old to do that. We're never too old to do what God's called us to do. I'm just afraid of this, that we are so afraid of burning out that we're not even willing to be lit. So afraid of burning out. Well, that's just too much to do for him. Man, I'm just staying. That's all I do is church, 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 church. That's all I do. Well, I'd rather burn out for him to stay cool and calm and live for this world. No one has ever been condemned for selling out to him. Paul, listen, Paul knew that if he kept on preaching the gospel, that he was going to lose his head. They put him in prison. You know what he done? He didn't shut up. He just kept preaching. They'd warn him. They put John in a boiler of oil and boiled him. What did he do? Did he quit? No. No. Yeah, that energized him. See, God can take the horrible circumstances. He can take our lack of ability and he can turn it into a wonderful thing. But listen, sometimes it'll cost us. But I don't know if anybody right now, including myself, that needs to worry about burning out. I really don't. God has proclaimed his name. See, God said, listen, I am the God of the Bible. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Listen, there's a lot of gods in the world, but there's only one living God. He said, I am the Father. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who I am. And when he did, and he realized who that was, the Bible says he covered his face. Because he was afraid to step into the presence of God and look upon him. See, that's where we need to be, at a place in our life where we are afraid to come before God without any reverence. He is the most holy one ever. No one has ever been created that has been as holy as he is, as righteous as he is, as loving as he is, as long-suffering as he is. He is unique. He's different. And this morning, he wants to be a part of our lives. He does not want us to wander and leave astray our own lives. He's got a plan. How can we help? How can we serve? Being faithful is what it takes. Being faithful in the day that we live might be hard to do. It is certainly hard to do to get people together because, listen, people are afraid. People are afraid to come together. And I am a little bit myself, but hey, I say, I got to go. I got to go. God makes an impression in our life whenever he speaks to us. And that impression he makes will never be changed. We will never lose our hope whenever he makes that impression in our life. The first thing that I saw at 25 in my mind's eye when he convicted my heart was I really understood, and literally in my mind's eye, I saw Jesus on the cross. Amen. And I realized that God so loved me that he had come into this world and die for me. I literally, in my mind's eye, I saw that. And I realized this God is real. He's alive. He is impressing himself on me. And thank God for the Holy Spirit, who does not give up. He pursues us and impresses on us the love of God. So, what has God impressed in your life? Has he impressed the necessity of being holy, living right? We live in a world, listen, you can't hardly flip a coin and tell the difference between those who are believers and those who are not. Those who are church folks, those who are not. You can't hardly tell a nickel's difference in them. But see, God is not like that. When God makes that impression in our life and we begin to follow him, you know what? He shines through us. And just like that fiery bush that Moses saw, this world needs to see a fiery Christian. I don't mean someone that's hard to get along with. I mean someone that is shows who God is in their life. That's what we need. We need those folks that are calling themselves Christian to walk in this world and live in this world and be like Christ. Make an impression in someone's life. You know, what troubles me is, am I making enough impression in someone's life that if they are in need, they know at least one place they can go? Am I living my life in a way that others see Jesus? Am I being faithful to the God who is faithful to me? Moses went to him, realized who it was, and worshiped. See, that's the way he does us. He brings us in, he shows us who he is, and because he is so worthy, we worship. Has God impressed in your life something that he wants you to do? The more we see him in our life, the more we're going to realize he's worthy of worship. He's worthy of listening to, and he's worthy of following the directions that he gives us. Can you imagine God telling you to go do something that you absolutely believe was impossible to be done, and yet God said go? That's a tough place to be. So this morning, listen. Are you one of those unlikely candidates that God probably wouldn't use? Moses was. He wasn't the guy that I would choose. You might not have been the person that you think God had chosen it either. But God chooses you to come to Him in faith. And He has created a wonderful work for you to walk in. Just hear His voice. Listen to the call of God. Answer Him when He does. And go for His glory. Let's pray.